Hey, Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are really strapping in for a journey, a big one. We're tackling Stephen Hawking and Leonard Mlodinow's huge and, let's be honest, pretty provocative book, The Grand Design.
It really is. I mean, this book just goes straight for those massive questions, doesn't it? You know, why are we here? And maybe even bigger, why is there something instead of nothing?
Exactly. And our mission today really is to unpack the final scientific answer Hawking lays out in this book.
Yeah, the ambition is just, wow. It basically claims, quite boldly, that philosophy, religion, they're kind of obsolete for explaining existence now.
Right. It says science, specifically theoretical physics, can do the whole job, a complete self-contained story of the universe.
And that's why we felt we had to cover this. You know, there are so many competing stories out there about creation and existence. This book tries to just rewrite it all using only physical laws.
We really need to dig into that argument, understand its foundations, because, I mean, it fundamentally shifts how you might see our place in the whole cosmos.
Definitely. So who's behind this pretty world-altering claim?
Well, first, obviously, the late Stephen Hawking, 1942 to 2018, a giant in theoretical physics, cosmology.
Mm-hmm.
His work on black holes, Hawking radiation, it changed everything.
And you have to remember his life story, too. The ALS diagnosis when he was young, his incredible intellectual resilience despite that. Just legendary.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't just brilliant. He held Newton's old chair at Cambridge, the Lucasian professor of mathematics.
Yeah.
That carries some serious weight in the scientific world.
It does. And his whole career was basically this quest, wasn't it? To find that unified theory, the thing that connects general relativity, you know, gravity, the big stuff, with quantum mechanics, the tiny stuff.
Yeah, the theory of everything. And The Grand Design really feels like the culmination of that search. His final philosophical and scientific statement on it all.
And we should definitely mention Leonard Mlodinow, the co-author. He's crucial here.
Absolutely.
Hawking had the physics, the vision, but Mlodinow helped shape it into a clear narrative. He made these incredibly complex, really mind-bending ideas accessible, so you, the listener, can actually follow the argument.
Okay, so let's get to the chase. What's the core idea, the big premise, that kicked up so much dust?
Okay, so the central idea fundamentally is this. The universe didn't need a divine creator. Didn't need one.
Right.
It just arose spontaneously, naturally, simply from the basic laws of physics.
So the Grand Design isn't like a plan from an architect.
No, exactly. The Grand Design is the laws themselves. Elegant, powerful physical laws that are, well, completely sufficient on their own.
And they don't just jump into the physics, do they? There's this philosophical setup first.
Oh, yeah. They make this really bold claim right at the start. They basically say philosophy is dead.
Dead.
Yeah, because it hasn't kept up with science, especially physics. They're arguing that science is now the only way to get to objective truth about reality.
Wow. Okay, so that's the groundwork.
It's the framework they need. They introduce this idea called model-dependent realism. It's kind of necessary to prepare you to accept some really, really weird concepts later on.
And this framework, this realism, it leads towards the big physics conclusion based on M theory.
That's right. M theory is presented as the best candidate we have for that theory of everything.
And M theory doesn't just explain our universe.
Yo, this is the kicker. It predicts a multiverse, a vast, almost unbelievably huge number of other universes.
Okay, hold on. A multiverse.
Yeah, yeah.
And that explains how our own universe just happened.
Pretty much. This cosmic landscape of possible universes makes the spontaneous creation of our specific universe seem like a natural, almost inevitable outcome of the underlying physics.
Okay, let's unpack that framework then. Model-dependent realism. If we're going to talk about multiverses and spontaneous creation, we need to know what they even mean by reality.
Right. And their answer is, well, it's kind of pragmatic. They say it's pointless asking if a scientific model is real in some absolute sense.
So it's not about truth with a capital T.
No. It's about effectiveness. Does the model work? Does it describe what we see? Does it make predictions we can test? If yes, then it's a good model. That's as close to reality as we can get.
Is that analogy right? The goldfish?
Yeah, the goldfish in the curved bowl. It's a great way to grasp it. The goldfish sees everything distorted, right? Through the curve of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
But if that goldfish was a little scientist, it could still figure out laws based on its warped view. And those laws would work perfectly fine within its bowl. They'd predict where food appears, how other fish move.
Even though we, Outside the bowl, know its view is distorted.
Exactly. And Hawking's point is, our human view isn't fundamentally different. It's just the model that fits our senses, our brains. There's no way to access some true reality independent of any model or picture.
So reality isn't a fixed thing out there. It's more like the best map we have for navigating our observations.
That's a good way to put it. And you need that kind of intellectual flexibility to even approach the next bit, quantum mechanics and this idea of alternative histories.
Okay, this is where my brain usually starts to ache.
Huh. Yeah, it gets weird. Classically, you know, a ball takes one path from A to B, simple.
Right.
But in quantum mechanics, Richard Feynman showed that a particle, like an electron, doesn't just take one path. It simultaneously takes every single possible path it could take.
Every path. At the same time. How does that even work?
It's summed up mathematically, the sum over histories, and they scale this idea up massively.
To the whole universe. The universe explored all possible histories.
Essentially, yes. The universe exists as this sort of superposition, a blend of all potential histories. And here's the really wild part.
Oh.
The way the universe is now, the state we actually observe, kind of reaches back and selects which history or which combination of histories became real.
Wait, the present influences the past, not the other way around.
In a quantum sense, yeah, it completely flips our intuitive idea of cause and effect. It's bizarre.
Okay, my intuition is definitely shattered. So we need this flexible, model-dependent, slightly backwards view of reality to get to M-theory.
We do. Because M-theory is presented as the only viable path currently to unite gravity with the other forces. But it comes with a price tag.
Which is?
11 dimensions. 10 of space, 1 of time.
11 dimensions. That sounds less like physics and more like science fiction. How do they justify basing everything on something so abstract?
Purely on the math, essentially. Right now, M-theory is the only framework physicists have found that seems capable of fitting everything we know, the standard model of particle physics, gravity together, without breaking down into mathematical nonsense, like infinities popping up everywhere.
And it needs 11 dimensions for the math to work out.
Basically, yeah. In M-theory, the fundamental objects aren't point particles, they're tiny vibrating strings. And for those strings to vibrate in ways that produce all the particles and forces we see mathematically, they need that 11-dimensional space to move around in. It's a requirement of the theory's consistency.
Okay, so it's mathematically necessary within the model.
Mm.
And the biggest consequence of that math is the multiverse.
The multiverse, yeah. M-theory doesn't just give you one solution, one possible universe. It suggests this huge cosmic landscape of possibilities.
And the number is just staggering, right? 10 to the power of 500.
Yeah. 100, 500. It's a 1 followed by 500 zeros. I mean, it's more universes than there are atoms in our own observable universe by a long, long shot.
And crucially, each one of these universes in the landscape could have different laws of physics. Different constants.
Exactly. Different strengths of gravity, different particle masses, different forces.
Yeah.
A whole different recipe for each one.
Okay, I think I see where this is going. This huge landscape. This solves the fine-tuning problem. The fact that our universe seems so perfectly set up for life.
That's the argument. The fine-tuning problem, or what some call the apparent miracle, points out that if constants like gravity or the electromagnetic force were even slightly different,
then stars wouldn't form, or atoms wouldn't be stable, or the universe would have collapsed immediately. No life, nothing.
Right. And for a long time, that looked like really strong evidence for some kind of intelligent design, didn't it? That someone had deliberately tweaked the dials just right for us.
It did seem that way.
But Hawking and Mladenow offer the scientific alternative, anthropic selection working within the multiverse.
Anthropic selection, meaning?
Meaning if you have 100 and 500 universes out there, each with random laws and constants, it's no longer surprising that some of them, just by pure chance, will happen to have the right conditions for life to emerge.
It becomes statistically inevitable, almost.
Exactly. It's not a miracle that we find ourselves in a life-friendly universe. It's a selection effect. We have to be in one of the universes where observers can exist, otherwise we wouldn't be here asking the question.
We couldn't observe the universes that are hostile to life. So the fine-tuning isn't evidence of design. It's evidence that we exist in one bubble within a much larger multiverse.
Precisely. And that leads us to the perhaps the most dramatic claim. Spontaneous creation. From nothing.
Right. If there's no designer and the multiverse explains the fine-tuning, then how did our universe or any universe actually begin? How do you get something from? Well, nothing. Without breaking basic physics like conservation of energy.
Okay, this is key. The secret ingredient, according to the book, is gravity.
Gravity? How?
Think of energy like a bank balance. All the stuff in the universe, matter, light, radiation, that all counts as positive energy.
Okay, a positive balance.
But gravity. Gravity's different. The gravitational field, the way space-time is curved by all that matter and energy, actually contributes negative energy to the total.
So gravity is like cosmic debt. It subtracts from the total.
That's a perfect way to think about it. And the amazing thing is, the math suggests that for a universe like ours, the total positive energy of all the stuff is exactly canceled out by the total negative energy of the gravity holding it all together.
So the net energy is zero.
Zero, or incredibly close to it. So you can start with the quantum vacuum, which fluctuates around zero energy, and create a whole universe with zero total energy without violating energy conservation.
Wow.
The laws of physics themselves provide the mechanism. Gravity allows the universe to essentially create itself from nothing without needing any external input.
Kind of breathtaking. The universe is the ultimate free lunch because physics ensures the book's balance automatically.
That's the core of their scientific creation story. It's self-contained, which leads us nicely into some key themes.
Right? Yeah, let's pull out some big takeaways. First, there's clearly the supremacy of science, or maybe the science takeover theme.
Definitely. The idea that physics has basically overtaken philosophy and religion for answering these ultimate questions because it incorporates all these new discoveries.
And the reflection there for us, maybe, is the challenge to keep our own worldviews updated, to favor evidence over just tradition.
Yeah, to be willing to revise our models, you know. Second theme, spontaneous creation.
Right. The universe didn't need a trigger, didn't need a cause outside itself. Its existence is a natural consequence of physical law, thanks to that gravity loophole.
Mm-hmm. It reframes existence itself. Not a miracle, just physics doing its thing.
And the third theme has to be embracing the quantum nature of existence. This idea that reality at its deepest level is just weird. Probabilistic, non-intuitive, some over history's weirdness.
Totally. We have to accept that our everyday classical intuition just breaks down at fundamental levels. We have to kind of trust the math, trust the models, even when they feel completely alien.
The book is also packed with these really memorable, punchy lines. Quotes that just stick with you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like that opening salvo. Philosophy is dead. Philosophy has not kept up with modern developments in science, particularly physics.
Sets the tone immediately, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Basically says, physics is where the action is now for these questions.
Exactly. Then there's the line that sums up the core mechanism. Because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing.
That really frames the laws of physics not just as descriptions, but as active generative principles. They do things.
They do. And finally, the, quote, defining their whole approach to knowledge. There is no picture or theory-independent concept of reality. Instead, we will adopt a view that we will call model-dependent realism.
A constant reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Our understanding is always a model, always provisional, never the absolute final word, which is useful, actually.
It really is. And even though we're talking multiverses and quantum foam, these ideas do have some surprisingly down-to-earth applications, don't they?
I think so. First, that model-dependent realism, it's a great recipe for intellectual humility, isn't it?
How so?
Well, if all our beliefs, whether scientific, political, or personal, are just models, just approximations, then maybe we should hold them a little less tightly. Be more open to other models, less dogmatic.
That makes sense. Yeah, we could all use a bit more of that. And relatedly, perhaps, it forces us to rethink purpose and meaning.
Because if the universe wasn't made for us,
then meaning isn't something out there waiting to be found. It's something we have to create. Internally, through relationships, learning, creating things, pursuing goals.
We get to define our own purpose. That's quite liberating in a way.
It is, and maybe a final application. Just reading the book helps enhance critical thinking. By seeing what a really rigorous, evidence-based, logically constructed scientific argument looks like, it helps you spot the difference between a theory that makes testable predictions and, well, other kinds of claims that don't. That's a skill you can use everywhere.
That's a great point. Sharpening your BS detector, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. For me, the most, elegant part of the whole thing was seeing how the multiverse just dissolves that fine-tuning problem.
It turns the miracle into a statistic?
Exactly. And it neatly sidesteps the whole first cause debate by showing how the laws themselves can be the origin. It's just a very neat self-contained logical loop.
Yeah, the beauty and the power of that self-creating mechanism. That's the big takeaway for me, too. The grand design feels like Hawking's final powerful statement, a purely scientific creation story.
It really is a celebration of human reason, isn't it? Our ability to figure out the very laws that, according to this view, brought us into being in the first place.
It leaves you feeling like we're not just adrift in the cosmos, but part of something incredibly structured, mathematical, and maybe even inevitable.
A stunning thought. It really makes you appreciate the sheer power contained within the laws of physics themselves.
Indeed. A fascinating deep dive. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.